taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
Hello there, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach a rising generation to be free. You know, in these crazy times, there's a couple things that I find interesting for today. One is that, in general, trust in institutions in America is falling at a rapid pace, and I think it's well-deserved. I think many of the institutions people trusted and relied on have shown themselves to be untrustworthy. And that is, so it's no surprise when people tell me that, when I hear reports that half of the people don't trust the CDC, when Congress has a 15 to 20% approval rating, these numbers don't surprise me. What's interesting, though, is among these surveys, when people are asked of, you know, which their opinion about the trustworthiness of institutions, almost always one if not the most trusted institution is the U.S. military. It seems that when all else fails, we trust the military to do the right thing. I had a comment on one of my posts the other day, talking about what happens when the government calls the military to infringe on the people's rights, and this belief that no, the military would never stand for the confiscation of weapons the way the British confiscated the weapons of the colonists. There's this trust in the American military. Now, also recognize that it is actually illegal for someone actively serving in the military to disparage the President of the United States, to disparage their commander-in-chief. I don't know the specific law, but I know that if you are wearing the uniform, if you're on active duty, it is a violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice for you to disparage the president. So what does it say when more than 120 retired generals and admirals, men and women who have risen to the top ranks of the military, send an open letter warning us of the situation in hand with the current commander-in-chief? Now, I'll put a link to the letter in the description. So if you're listening live, you can, when the podcast comes out, you can find the podcast and follow that link. But the letter starts out, "Our nation is in deep peril. We are in a fight for our survival as a constitutional republic, like no other time since our founding in 1776. The conflict is between supporters of socialism and Marxism versus the supporters of constitutional freedom and liberty." That alone should tell you the set the stage for what they are talking about. Now, they go on, they talk about previous letters and other things, but their biggest issues, one of them is a question of a free and fair election. Now, as I've said in the past, we should all want elections to be free, to be fair, and to be transparent. The letter reads, "Without fair and honest elections that accurately reflect the will of the people, our constitutional republic is lost. Election integrity demands ensuring that there is one legal vote cast and counted per citizen. Legal votes are identified by state legislatures, approved controls using government IDs, verified signatures, etc. Today, many are calling such common sense controls racist in an attempt to avoid having fair and honest elections. Using racial terms to suppress proof of eligibility is itself a tyrannical intimidation tactic. Additionally, the rule of law must be enforced in our election processes to ensure integrity. The FBI and Supreme Court must act swiftly when election irregularities are surfaced and not ignore them as was done in 2020. Finally, H.R. 1 and S. 1, if passed, would destroy election fairness and allow Democrats to forever remain in power, violating our Constitution and ending our representative republic. Now, I agree that free and fair elections are requirement. You don't have a republic if the people cannot express their opinion and who should represent them. And I agree, we need controls. We need to make sure that every legal vote is cast and counted, but only legal votes are cast and counted. And yes, you know, I find it interesting. It seems that when people have no cogent argument, when they have no logical, rational argument, they fall back on calling names. And the current boogie name is racist. So when you say, you know what, I want to make sure that the person that's come to cast a vote is actually the person that they are claiming to be, you know what, we do that all the time, don't we? You do that to enter a federal building. You do that to purchase certain medications. How about you do that when you vote? But somehow that's racist. Not because we're only asking certain races to present ID. No, it's just, it's a boogeyman. And while I'm not sure that the FBI and the Supreme Court are the best actors when there are election integrity issues, because it's interesting enough, as these flag officers claim that H.R. 1 and S.1 would destroy election fairness by putting the federal government in charge of all elections, yet they want the federal government in charge of reviewing these elections. So I don't think the FBI and the Supreme Court are the best actors for this. This letter goes on and they talk about the administration's full-blown assault on our constitutional rights. The fact that Biden has bypassed the legislative process, signed more than 50 executive orders, many of them simply to reverse the policies of the previous office holder. The lockdowns, the school and business closures, all in violation of the Constitution. Censorship, both written and verbal, and on all sides. These are assaults on our fundamental rights. So the flag officers, the generals and admirals, they go on. But that should be a red flag to the American people. When the men and women who attained the highest ranks in our military, our most trusted institution, is raising the red flag. Not only are our constitutional rights under attack, they're under attack by something we've seen before. By Marxism. By a system of government first developed by a gentleman by the name of Marx, that has been tried and failed numerous times in our recent history. In the last century, it was tried in the Soviet Union, in East Germany, in Czechoslovakia, in Vietnam, in Cambodia, in Cuba, in Venezuela. And it has failed each and every time. Now, my question is, will the American people heed this warning? I don't mean that they agree completely with these generals. Will we listen to the fact that your rights are under attack? Now, this didn't start with the Biden administration, but again, Biden is using his current position and the fact that the Democratic Party controls both houses of the legislative branch to advance a centralized control, a Marxist-type agenda that deprives you of the rights you have as a human being and that are protected by the Constitution of the United States. Some examples. So I found this report talking about, well, for those of you who remember, when President Biden took his oath of office, his inauguration speech, he talked about unity, bringing the people together. Yet, what has the president done to instill unity I'm reminded of a line from the original Star Trek episode. There was an episode where there was this world and you had all these factions. They were fighting each other. And Spock looks at one of the leaders and says, "We agree with you. This world needs unity." And the character said, "I agree, but I need to be the unity." Well, that's what I see. And again, not just in Biden. I see it in Pelosi, in Schumer, in AOC, in Debbie Wasserman Schultz, in any one of a number of leaders, in Bernie Sanders, in Senator Warren. This idea that unity means you do what I say. We have Biden supporting critical race theory, instituting racism in the federal government. You know, we seem to forget that the lauded Woodrow Wilson resegregated the military. He took a black person who worked in the office in the White House and put him in a closet until he could get rid of him, until he could have him fired. This is what Biden is doing. We're going to reinstitute this idea that that America is racist, not because we are judging people based on race, no, because people want us judging people based on race. Men and women marched and protested to destroy segregation, yet we're putting in place segregation again. Does this bother people? President Biden recently overturned an executive order that was designed to help protect users from censorship on social media. Now, do I believe President Trump had the legal authority to do that? Not sure, because I don't remember I didn't read the details of the executive order. But the idea was, would companies like Twitter and Facebook be allowed what they refer to as false advertising? For example, to cite things as fact-checked when the check was obviously politically biased. You know, there's not based on facts, based on political party. Now, again, I'd have to look at the details. But we had one president that was trying to reduce the censorship in social media. We have another that seems to be promoting it. Oh, not simply because of that executive order. He's also announced he is supported of Facebook and other companies taking action to combat disinformation and misinformation. Now, whenever you hear a politician talk about combating disinformation or misinformation, understand they define disinformation or misinformation. Meaning, President Biden considers disinformation anything he disagrees with. Any fact that doesn't support his agenda. By the way, President Trump did exactly the same thing. His executive order was not put out because people because companies were mislabeling or politically checking anyone's tweets or anyone's posts. No, because they went after the president. Anytime government claims the power to combat, to control, to dictate, to persuade, to control information because they don't, they're trying to suppress information they don't like. That's why, folks, we have a First Amendment, to prevent the federal government from labeling information as different disinformation or misinformation, from suppressing information they don't like. And it's why the constitutions of each of the 50 states protects freedom of speech and freedom of press. Because it is not government's role to determine what is and is not correct information, unless you live in a Soviet country. Unless you live in a Marxist, tyrannical, dictatorial government, those governments have no authority to determine what is disinformation or misinformation, to suppress any of it. That scares me. That worries me because the Americans seem to have lost this idea that I may vehemently disagree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. We seem to be in a world where if I disagree with you, whoever has the biggest bat will shut you up. That's not freedom of speech. That's not liberty. That's what they have in North Korea. Do you really think that North Korea is the best example of how you want to run a country? And it's not just Biden. I mean, it's the government as a whole. Sure, there are individuals that are more libertarian, more liberty-minded, more socialist-minded. But in a joint letter to the FCC, several Republicans from Florida are concerned. Quote, "We are concerned by these attempts to impose on the FCC's independence and politicize its decisions by encouraging content-based censorship." Well, first of all, anyone who believes the FCC is independent, I want to sell them a bridge in Brooklyn. I want to sell them oceanfront property in Nevada. There is no way a government agency is not politicized. And I'm none of them. Even the vaunted Supreme Court is politicized. Everything government does has become politicized because we hire people more interested in politics than liberty, than rights and freedom. But yeah, I'm concerned when the FCC starts doing content-based censorship. Continuing from the letter, "Preventing the assignment of radio station licenses based on its anticipated programming would set a dangerous precedent and likely would violate the First Amendment's protections of free expression and a free independent media." Well, yeah. The very idea that the government can issue you a license or withhold a license can determine whether or not you can run a radio station is a violation of the First Amendment. I mean, it's one thing to determine how you're going to split up the radio spectrum. The radio spectrum is a limited resource. It is, you know, so if you have two radio stations next to each other on the same frequency or nearby frequencies, it doesn't work, right? Simple physics. Now, problem number one is nothing gave the federal government the authority to regulate the electromagnetic spectrum. Nothing. We never did. We never gave the federal government the authority to establish an FCC and to regulate the use of the electromagnetic spectrum, which is what the radio waves are. That includes radio, that includes TV, that includes satellite. We never gave it to them. But the federal government denying a quote-unquote license based on their programming would seriously be a violation of the First Amendment. And it would not be and the First Amendment, by the way, doesn't protect free expression and free independent media. It protects freedom of speech and freedom of the press. So preventing people from using a natural phenomena for any reason, much especially political ones or content-based ones, is a violation of the First Amendment. But it's the type of tyranny we should be used to by now. It happens all the time. How long are we going to stand for it? How long? Now, the letter goes on talking about, you know, political bias and all that. You know what? I don't care about political bias. Well, I do care. That's not the issue here. The issue here, does the federal government have the authority to deny access to a natural resource, the electromagnetic spectrum, for any reason? We've given them the legal authority. I would probably, if it was written properly, allow the federal government to allocate space on that spectrum and nothing more. And I would only do that because radio waves tend to cross state borders. And radio stations are primarily commercial ventures, meaning if it's commercial venture that crosses state borders, that's interstate commerce. So they would regulate it, meaning I would allow the federal government to assign space on that electromagnetic spectrum. So that you would not have, you know, two radio stations that overlap the same territory with on a nearby frequencies, thereby interfering with each other. But it would also have to allow any broadcast that would remain within a state to be regulated by the state, not by the federal government. This is a slippery slope of letting the government do whatever it wants, regardless of what the Constitution says. And our call, the call for Soviet style, for Marxist tyranny, you know, again, I grew up in the 70s. I lived through the 80s. I remember people risking their lives to get out of the Soviet Union and Soviet bloc countries. Yet here we have people. In this case, we have an ABC anchor, Eva Pilgrim, suggesting that the very idea that the CDC says, oh, if you've gotten your vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask, causes confusion. Really? First of all, the CDC has no authority to tell me whether or not to wear a mask. Zero. None. Doesn't exist. No legal authority. It's void. Supreme Court, Marbury versus Madison. Nope. Doesn't happen. But more and more, we're seeing, again, not just the news media, we're seeing businesses, we're seeing cities and states demanding your papers, demanding you provide proof that you've taken the experimental vaccine, demanding that you mask up, not because they have a probable cause that you are infectious. No. You haven't proven your loyalty. Vaccine passports and masks are no longer there. Any pretense that they were a medical decision is long gone. These are medallions of servitude. They are your proof to the world that you are a subject of a tyrant. And any business that requires you to wear a mask proves not only that they are subjects of tyrants, but they are more than willing to subject you as well. They will not protect your rights. They should not be trusted. Yet, the media says, it's confusion. No, it's not. If you think a mask will protect you from COVID and you think you need it, wear it. If you don't think it will protect you from COVID, don't. If the vaccine is designed to protect you from COVID and you think it's a good thing, take it. If you don't think it's a good thing, don't take it. But this whole COVID-based fiasco has nothing to do with the medical science. It has everything to do with controlling the American people. I was at a doctor's office last week, and the physician's assistant asked my wife and I if we had gotten our COVID vaccines. We said no, and I told her I was not going to take an experimental drug for a disease I had a 99% chance of surviving. 99%? I said, yes. Go to the CDC, look at the numbers. The average is 98.2% chance of survival. You look at my age range, my medical history, 99%. But you see, this particular PA, along with many in the medical facility and media and other businesses, have fallen for the lie. and they are more than willing to instill tyranny on others. What do we do about it? I mean, that's ultimately the question. What are we to do about it? Well, my answer is, I don't listen to the CDC, at least nothing that comes out of the CDC. I look at their data, and I make up my own mind. And I don't listen to the media when they tell me that I should be a good little Soviet citizen and do what I'm told. I'm a free citizen in a free republic with rights from God, not from government. And my job is not to fit, you know, we talk a lot about the federal government. You know what? Let's start by fixing our counties. Let's start by finding counties that say, you know what? We're not going to implement this nonsense because it's illegal. It's unconstitutional. We're not going to impose these regulations. And let's have the citizens start looking, going, you know what? No, I'm not going to do business with a company that wants to shred my rights, that's willing to be complicit in shredding the rights of the American people. I don't want to do business with them. You know, I've told you I'm going on a tour this August. I'm going to be, right now it's North Dakota and Wyoming are on the list. I got several stops along there. Head to constitutionstudy.com and look at the calendar. You'll see where I'm going to be, when I'm going to be. But I'm not flying. And the major reason I'm not flying is because I don't trust the airlines. They've infringed on my rights enough. And I'm not going to trust that they're not going to leave me stranded out there somewhere unless I take an experimental drug. So I'm going to avoid them. Would it be a lot more convenient to fly? Absolutely. Be a lot quicker too. But what's more important? My liberty? My freedom? My rights and the rights and freedoms and liberty I'm leaving to my daughter? Or saving a few hours of travel? I've made my decision for that. I've made my decision for the grocery store or the hardware store or any business that says I need to wear a mask. Have you? COVID did not do this to us. COVID was the excuse those in state and federal government and even city governments have used to control the American people. So now when I go about and I see people wearing masks, especially outside in public spaces, I don't see a mask. I see a Star of David. The Star of David that used to, the yellow Star of David that the Germans required the Jews to wear, to identify them as other. I don't see those people as other. I see them as subjects. No longer free citizens. They have sold their birthright. And the evidence is on their face. Now, I'm sure in that there are some that truly need the mask. The mask is a good thing. And I it's sad that they get painted with the brush of servitude. But the fact of the matter is, the American people, by allowing themselves to be dictated to illegally, have sold their birthright for a bowl of pottage. So do me a favor, be sure to check out AmericaOutloud.com. Make it your daily stop for news and information and all the happenings. It's important that we be involved, and to be involved, you need to be in the know. So share those stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, everything you can to help secure not only your future, but the future of generations to come. So please stay tuned, listen to our sponsors. They help keep the Constitution Study and America Out Loud on the air. And we'll be back right after this break.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements. that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As we celebrate our five-year anniversary, America Out Loud is expanding its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors, all carrying a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutLoud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
Welcome back, everyday Americans, back to the Constitution study. I was thinking over the break, you know, the wearing a mask, I analogize it to the yellow Star of David that the Jews wore in Nazi Germany. I've got a better analogy. Wearing of a mask is like wearing a party pin in the old Soviet Union. So remember, if you were a party member, if you were especially a high-ranking party member, you had a pin. And you wore that pin so that everybody knew you were a party member. Well, now that I think about it, I see a mask. I'm thinking, there's a party member. Not a free citizen. There's a party member. Now, whether they're doing it voluntarily or because they were coerced into it, that's to me what a mask wearing, forcing people to wear masks, people that wear masks now, they're identifying themselves as subjects to a party because the science doesn't support it for the vast majority of people. Reason doesn't support it for the vast majority of people. But we've been cowed into servitude. So that's what those masks mean to me. Now, let's go on, take a couple look at some other things that have been going on, and I'll describe how these kind of mesh together. Actually, let me skip over. I got a couple things in here. So I saw a report. Where did this report come out of? It was out of the Daily Caller. At least the Daily Caller reported it, and they found that some study said that a majority of Americans support requiring proof of vaccination when traveling on planes and attending large crowds. This is done by the way, by Gallup. This is not some fly-by-night organization. This is Gallup did this. 57% of Americans supported proof of vaccination on airplanes, 55% for events like concerts, 43% and 45% were opposed. 43% for proof of vaccination, 45% were opposed. We have entered Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union. Not because the governments are trying to force us, because now half of Americans support requiring people to show their papers to fly in an airplane or to attend certain events. We're not a free people. We're not, this isn't the land of the free anymore. This is the land of the controlled, the subjected, the fearful, not the brave. Oh, no, we're not the brave anymore because we're afraid. We are so terrified of a bug that we stand a 98% chance of surviving, the vast majority of us, that half of us want everyone else to walk around with papers because they're afraid they're going to get sick from them. This is nuts. If you're afraid someone's going to get you sick, then go get the vaccine. That's the purpose of the vaccine, to keep you from getting from other people making you sick. But stop trying to force other people to live their lives the way you want so that you can feel safe when you can take care of yourself. It's not just the government that's taking away our liberties. The American people are voluntarily giving up their rights as free citizens because they've been scared into stupidity rather than figuring things out for themselves. When medical professionals do not know the illness and death rates of a disease that has changed this nation, we are led by idiots. I'm not a doctor. I've never played one on TV. But when I know more about the coronavirus and the vaccine than the people who are advising on my medical health, we have a problem, folks. The insane are truly running the asylum. And then this one popped up. This is one of those things. It sounds like a good idea. So apparently the governor of Ohio wants to hold a lottery for people who get COVID. Now, if I had a choice between an incentive like a lottery or force like mandates, I would certainly prefer the former. But that's not what I see. I see a government official, the governor of Ohio, bribing people to get the to take the vaccine. Now stop, back up just a second. Let's start with some basic understanding of the human psyche. If the vaccine is that good, why do you have to bribe people to take it? Why do you have to threaten them? Why do you have to cajole them? You know, Apple doesn't bribe people to buy an iPhone. Why? Because it's that good. They don't need to bribe people. The new iPhone comes out. The most expensive an iPhone is when it first comes out. And people stand in line to buy them. Well, if this vaccine is that good, why do we need to bribe people? Well, people aren't getting the vaccine. And that's their choice. But they'll get sick. That's not your responsibility. It is not your responsibility. Well, they could get me sick. Then you take the vaccine. Well, I might still get sick. Well, then the vaccine just isn't that good, is it? Understand, the vaccine has not gone through all the FDA testing. It is still an emergency use authorization, meaning the American people, the people of the world, are the guinea pigs. Someone told me of a great meme. It was two white mice. And one of them asked, one white mouse asked the other one, "Have you gotten your COVID vaccine yet?" That mouse said, "No, they're still testing it on humans." That's what's going on. You are now the subject of a test. But COVID is just so scary and dangerous. I know people are scared to death of COVID. Now, granted, if you're older, if you're over 70, 75, if you have certain medical conditions, COVID is scary. I completely understand that. The vast majority of the American people have little to fear from COVID-19. At worst, you will be sick as a dog for a few days. Some people don't even do that. They barely know they've had it. And for that, you're going to force people to take an experimental vaccine. And if we can't force them, well, we'll bribe them. That's what this is. You know, when companies like Krispy Kreme and I think McDonald's is doing something and others, you know, when they're offering rewards, okay. You know, it's to me it's distasteful. It's distasteful. I can understand, you know, okay, we want to reward the people. We give them some nominal reward, a little sticky star or a donut or a cup of coffee or something. Yeah. But if it was really that bad, if COVID was really that dangerous, and if the vaccine was that good, people would be pounding the doors to get it. So what happens when you offer money or a promise or something in order to influence someone's judgment? You know what we call that? Merriam-Webster calls that a bribe. That's right. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines a bribe as money or favor given or promised in order to influence the judgment or conduct of a person in a position of trust. You have trust over your own body, don't you? If the COVID vaccine was that good, you wouldn't need to bribe people. You'd need to bribe people to wait. So again, I say, why do we have to bribe people? Why do we have to shame people? Why are, if the vaccine is so effective and so safe, why are people terrified they might encounter somebody who doesn't have a vaccine? Because they've been lied to. And while most people say, well, yeah, they've been lied to, and in many cases, that lie has come with serious, serious negative effects. For example, generally, when the FDA is testing a drug, if there are 50 deaths, they'll pull the drug. 50. So, okay, well, then this is an experimental drug. How many people have died? Well, according to the CDC's own website, the Vaccine Adverse Event Report System database reports that of the 998,726 reports of adverse events, meaning of the slightly less than 125 million Americans that have received been fully vaccinated, or roughly 158 million that have had at least one dose, almost 1 million of them have had some sort of adverse reaction, which is not bad. It's less than 1%. It's approximately 0.8% of the people who have been fully vaccinated have had some sort of adverse effect. Now, that could be anything from, cold symptoms to, slightly sick, actually getting a weakened version of the disease. But here's the dirty little truth. 12,839 Americans have died after getting the vaccine. In other words, of that nearly 1 million adverse effects, 12,000, almost 13,000 was death. So if the FDA routinely pulls a medication, an experimental medication, after 50 deaths, we have almost 13,000. That is 260 times the number of deaths for that normal trigger level. And not only is the vaccine still available, it's being promoted. Now, again, you're talking, let's use some round numbers, right? So let's say 13,000 of the 99,000. That's a little less than 1.5% of the adverse effects were death. And if we take that same 13,000 and we divide it by, say, the 23 million that have actually received it, been fully vaccinated, that's roughly 1/100th of 1%. Now, that's pretty good odds. Your odds of surviving the vaccine, of dying from the vaccine, are roughly 1/100th that of dying from the disease. But why is this number not being reported? Why are the people not being informed that, you know what? Yes, the vaccine, it's pretty safe, but there are risks. Because this is no longer about medical science. This hasn't been about medical science for over a year. This is about controlling the American people. And in fact, it's about controlling the people throughout the world. Now, are there countries that are having much more serious reactions? Yes. India, from what I understand, is having a very bad problem. I'm sure it's in part because of their medical system and how effective their medical system is, especially in rural areas. I don't know. I'm not an expert, at least not on healthcare in India. What I do know is that we have governments and businesses promoting an experimental vaccine for a disease the vast majority of the American people stand extremely small chance of dying from. And when the people are reluctant to voluntarily get it, we see pressure campaigns to coerce them to get it or simply to incent them to get it. And you still call yourself a free people? Now, my other personal favorite, the CDC is still recommending schools use masks. Children in schools, K through 12, kids should wear masks. Yet, there is not one report I've been made aware of. And if you've got one, just share it with me. Let me know. You can find out, you can find me on my website, Constitution Study. Let me know. I'm not aware of one report of a child spreading the disease in school. And in fact, I think for kids under the age of 16, the death rate is something like 0.01%. I mean, it's minuscule. It's a rounding error. So the CDC is recommending that schools torture children, deprive them of their humanity, make them maskless, faceless automatons to protect them from a disease they stand almost no chance of getting. Now, again, if your child has a medical condition or some other situation that would make them more vulnerable, and you have medical reason to believe a mask would help, that's something completely different. It is one thing for a parent who knows the medical history of their child to look at that and make a rational decision. It is something quite different for the government in the form of the CDC, who has proven to not only lie to us, but to do so for political reasons, to mask our children. We started out talking about not trusting institutions. This is why. This is why half the people don't trust the CDC. This is why 80 to 90% of the Americans don't trust Congress. This is why people don't trust governments. This is why people don't trust corporations. Because they lie to us. Yet rather than recognizing the lie and making rational choices for ourselves, exercising the supreme law of the land, most Americans simply buckle under and do what they're told. They may whine and complain. They may scream and rant on Facebook or YouTube or something like that. But they don't live as free people. Instead, they live as servants, they live as serfs, They live as peasants, looking for their party membership to avoid being harassed. I am sick and tired of people telling me how to live my life, government or otherwise. I am sick and tired of the American people living as peasants under an oligarchy, of people who get a government paycheck acting like aristocrats with special needs and special abilities and the authority to tell the plebs how to live. This isn't the America that our founders created. This isn't even the America that we inherited from our parents. But this is the America we're leaving to our children. One where they are not free. They are no longer citizens. They are subjects to the whim of people who get a government paycheck. The CDC has no legal authority to mandate anything. They have no legal authority to exist. Government doesn't have the legal authority to deprive me of my liberty or my property without due process of law. But until the American people stop standing for it, and we start not in Washington, D.C., we don't even start in our state houses. We start at our county courthouses and our city halls, standing up to the petty little bureaucratic tyrants that want to tell you how to live your life, who assume they know better than you what is best for you. You stand up to them. You say no. And when you see your neighbor standing up and saying no, you stand with them as well. You don't let anyone stand alone. When they're standing for liberty, you stand with them. You support them. Because if you make your county free and live at liberty, a constitutionally sound county, if you make your county constitutionally sound, and I make my county constitutionally sound, and your neighbor makes their county constitutionally sound, guess what? You have people to stand with you when the state and federal governments come after you. Meet with your sheriff. Be kind, be polite, but ask them, when you call 911, will your deputies protect the rights of people or simply enforce the laws, whether they're legal or not? Ask them. When the next election comes up, anyone who is interested in being sheriff, that should be the first question you should ask. If you are sheriff and I call 911, will you promise that your deputies will be trained to protect the rights of the people involved? And if you need help, if you need encouragement, please, I'm more than willing to. I will do whatever I can. Contact me at my website, constitutionstudy.com. You have a question, you want help discussing things with your sheriff or with a county officials, I'll give you all the information I can. This is that important. Now, if you're anywhere along my tour, again, right now, it looks like I'm going to be in North Dakota. I'm going to be in Grand Forks. I'm going to be in Bismarck. I'm going to be in Kildare, North Dakota. I'm going to be in Thermopolis, Wisconsin, Wyoming. And it looks like I might end up in Jenkins, Missouri. That's still being negotiated. If you are anywhere in those areas and you can attend, please check out the website, constitutionstudy.com. Check the calendar. It's going to, right now, everything's being booked in August. So just go to August and look and see what's there. If you are not near those locations, but you would like me to come, you would like me to come speak to your group, I'm focusing this tour on knowing your rights and being prepared to defend and exercise them. Then simply, again, go to the website, going to constitutionstudy.com/tour and see where I'm going to be. And if you'd like me to add your location, there's a form right in the bottom where you can request that I come. Help us understand our rights. Help your neighbors understand your rights and learn how to defend and assert them. Education is the true corrective of constitutional abuses. So it's important that we educate ourselves, that we educate our children, and that we educate those who want to work for us, who want us to hire them through an election. Make sure they know what the Constitution says. Make sure they know that governments are created to protect the rights of the citizens, not the other way around. And that they will be exercising your power in your name, and that you plan to hold them ultimately accountable for their actions. Now, I also want you to let you know that all my shows, if you've missed something, you want to go back and find something, all my shows go to podcast, usually a couple of days after the actual broadcast. So go to AmericaOutloud.com, find my webpage, just look for the go to shows, look for the Constitution Study. You can listen to these podcasts on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart, any of your podcasting platforms. And please do me a favor, if you can, go to Apple Podcasts and rate the show. Subscribe and rate the show. That helps other people find it. It helps other people become aware that they are not alone, that they are not helpless, that as citizens in a constitutional republic, we have not only rights, we have responsibilities, and that it's important we learn to exercise them properly, and exercise them well. And please share, as I said, share this podcast and join me next time at the Constitution Study.
Hey, he'll stay out of jail.